This episode of The Nate Darling Show is radio-friendly. All the funny, none of the cursing. The world is a big, stupid place.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
And they're here to make fun of it. This is The Nate Darling Show. Now, here's Nate and the gang.
Oh my! We've made it through another week. Well, you have when you hear this. We haven't yet because it's still only Tuesday as we record it. So, this is performance, people.
I can't wait, though, because I love Fridays. It's my favorite day.
Is a free performance for you. All we ask is that you spread the word and do your shopping through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com.
It's really that easy.
Yeah. That's not a lot to ask, really, for three free shows a week.
Three free shows.
Free.
Free. Free.
Gratis. Gratis.
That's Latin for free.
Mm-hmm. Coming up on the show today... A dude demands his money back. A woman crashes a funeral. And we go to Kareem's home state to check in with what's going on with Kareem's people. But first, since it's Friday, what are the big weekend plans other than watching football? Kareem, what's going on?
I'm going to possibly go see Howard Hewitt tomorrow night.
For those who don't know, who is Howard Hewitt and what does he do?
Howard Hewitt is a singer. He used to be in Shalimar.
Okay.
From back in the day. So
back in the day.
Yes. And then he's been a solo artist for a long time. Let me see. He was married to Nia Peoples. He's in Elk Grove this weekend, so I think I'm going to go see him Saturday night, tomorrow night.
Jason?
I'll be studying this weekend.
For the insurance thing?
Yeah, I'll be watching videos, get my 52 hours out of the way.
Wedding preps.
That's what you're doing?
Still wedding preps.
Yeah, that's the way it's going to be for you, buddy.
You know what's really funny is... Every time I talk to somebody, like, oh, you have a lot done. It's like, there's still a lot to do. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot to do.
That's right. We got to plan the bachelor party.
Oh, yeah. When's this going on?
I have no idea.
We need to talk to your best man.
He lives in Salinas.
Okay, well.
We might have to do one without him.
he'll be coming up in October a couple of times.
Wonder if we can do a podcast live from Gold Club Centerfolds.
I don't know how that would go. It would be a lot of this. Jade stage four. That's what's going on. Wedding preps. We got a lot done. As of right now, we have our wedding bands purchased and engraved.
Ooh.
We have our cake topper.
Yes.
We've bought, as you guys saw when you walked in today, we've bought some alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
We still have homework from the photographer and the DJ. I got the ceremony all laid out for our officiant.
Mm-hmm.
So that is taken care of. I still have to get insurance, since you mentioned insurance, for the venue for the day.
Oh, you can get it for like $60 online. I can tell you where to go.
I think that's about what it is through State Farm. It's not that much.
Yeah, it doesn't cost much. It's pretty inexpensive.
Yeah, so I'll see what they're quoting me, and then I'll get back to you on that because we may do that, and we gotta get the rings. We have to get the rings insured. Get that all taken care of. So we'll get that done, and then we want to go to the farmer's market because there's a craftsman at the Midtown Farmer's Market that we ran into. And we want to do a certain thing that he does as the gift for the groomsmen. So that's what we're going to do there, is head over to the farmer's market if we remember this week. We've forgotten the last 2 weeks to go.
Wait, is it? You said Midtown, so it's not the South Side Park?
No, it's the one on Saturday on 20th between J and K.
Oh, okay, uh-huh. All right.
Yeah, the one I used to be able to walk to when I lived in Midtown.
Oh,
those were the days.
West Sacramento.
Well, there's one in West Sacramento. It's on Thursday evening, in only during the summer.
Well, and that's
yeah,
stupid.
Exactly. It's totally stupid. So that's what's going on. Hope everybody's having a great weekend. There's a lot of stuff that, with football and baseball season starting to come to an end, all that going on. I mean, September cruising right along.
Yeah. You should probably start looking at, who candidates will be for your local elections, start researching that.
Yeah. I love the campaign signs around West Sac. The big ones have started going up.
Oh, have they?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yep, large campaign signs, and I'm like, all right. Hey, speaking of that, how about that Hillary Clinton and her pneumonia, huh?
Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
So you're 68 and you have pneumonia. Maybe you should take a day off.
I think that's a good idea.
Well, and then you've got Trump, who's actually not said a whole lot about it, but he's older. He's, I believe, 69, and all we have from him is a paper from his weird doctor that says he's going to be the healthiest president ever.
Yeah.
I don't know what you base that on. You don't know. You really don't know how healthy Willard Fillmore was, do you? Or Millard Fillmore, for that matter.
It almost seems like he wrote the letter and had that guy sign it.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It's like his publicist wrote it.
Yeah. I guess the thing that I'm getting sick of is just everything, just like how everything's being made a big deal about, like, and being blown up and like talked about, like the mind, like she has pneumonia. I've known people that were walking around working and had walking pneumonia, and we're not deathly ill.
Sure.
And we're able to get better. And it was no big deal. I hate how it's always like there's always something and it's always so pointed.
Well, the thing is, he just throws stuff out and nobody checks him on it. Well, so he just throws it out there and then the media reports on it like it's real or true, and they have their surrogates talking about it, and then they're like, oh, they talk about it like it's real and it's true, and nobody ever actually says this is. Oops.
There Sorry. We go. 7:21.
7:21.
Darn it. The other thing is, both of them, but Clinton more than Trump, are so secretive for no reason about something. Instead of just coming out when she started coughing up a lung and saying, you know what? She's under the weather. The doctor said she needs to take a couple days off the campaign trail and get some antibiotics and feel better. Instead, it was, no, it's nothing. It's nothing, and yeah, it's always
actually,
nothing.
But at the time, because she's been coughing for a minute, so at the time, she probably did think it was nothing.
Stop defending it. She hides everything.
Well, but she doesn't own up to anything.
And that feeds into, even though there's nothing there, instead of just going, yeah, here's what it is, it's nothing, it's like, no, nothing to see here, nothing to see here.
But there's also the other side of it is if she were to take off 4 days, then already there's been so many speculations about her health, like then it would be another huge deal and people would be talking about that every day. Like,
it's rumored.
So she's darned if she does, and she's darned if she doesn't. I mean, like, really, it with her, anything that she does is going to be blown up and made a big deal about if she's sick.
But she does have this penchant for not wanting to come clean on stuff and just wanting to brush it aside.
Yeah, because lies have been being told about her and her husband
for 25 years. Then come out and tell the truth. What is your definition of is?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if she tells the truth or not. Like it's,
but it does. It does. But here's why it does. It's not a matter of telling the truth. It's a matter of the facade that she has something to hide. Somebody is coming out and saying she's phony, she's crooked, and she's a liar. And she feeds into that by being secretive about stuff that if you just came out and were open about it, it's like Anthony Weiner with his first sexting thing. It wasn't that he was sexting. It's that he lied about it and tried to hide it. It's nothing to see here, nothing to worry about. Oh, no, it is something. Well, maybe it's not anything, but we've been so conditioned that when people are trying to hide something,
right,
that there's something there.
But that's the thing. You've been conditioned. I'm not a part of that.
But that's her reality. She's running for president.
But I'm not a part of that condition, being that conditioned.
You are, because you're in America.
No, because I don't see it that way.
I understand that.
Because all of the stuff that they've blown out of proportion to say there's stuff to see, when you actually look at what it is, it's like there was really nothing to see.
Right. And in the meantime,
it would take 2 minutes to go, there's nothing to see. But instead we go, there's nothing to see here. So you don't even need to look there.
No.
Wait.
But she didn't do that.
Whether it's her or her advisors or a campaign.
They didn't do that. The press did that. Everybody made all of these things like, oh, this is a big story. And then you look at it, oh, well, I guess that really isn't that big a story.
Right, but we don't hear from her when that happens. We don't hear from her saying, no, that's like nothing. Jason this said, is what
but,
this is.
Yeah, but when, like Jason said, if she says that it's nothing, then you're like, oh, well, she's lying. But no, she actually isn't.
I understand that. Everything, but by hiding, it looks to people like she is.
Everything that she has said up to this point has been, for a politician, pretty truthful.
Yeah, if you look at fact checker, what she said has been true.
If you look at the stuff that it's been true.
But it's about image and it's about perception.
Yeah, but the media has done that more than she has. Because the media keeps saying, they keep covering stuff like it's real and it's not real.
Right. And if you pull back the curtain and expose the great and powerful Oz every time and go, look, nothing here, then people are going to, at a certain point, people are going to go, there must not be anything there. But if you just keep going, no, there's no reason to look behind that curtain because there's nothing there. And that's what's been happening.
Yeah. And the media has finally figured out that they've been screwing up for a year and a half.
And it's easy to blame the media. But the fact of the matter remains, if you don't come out, that's the reality. She's smart and she understands that's what everything is working toward. But she keeps making these mistakes. And it's all about hiding stuff. And you look guilty when you don't come forth with stuff. This country has been really good about forgiving people for a lot of things if they just come out and say it. And if you just come out and go, there's nothing here, go ahead and look.
What she done.
No, she hasn't. She hasn't done that.
So there have been, how many Benghazi trials?
I'm not even talking about Benghazi. No.
There have been how many Benghazi trials? So there have been like 6 or 7 of those.
Mm-hmm.
What did they find?
They didn't find anything. But when she was testifying, the way she was testifying, it was all the way she was conducting herself was like somebody who was disgusted that you would even ask the question.
And she should have been because it,
you can't be that
because
way.
It was disgusting.
But you cannot be that way if you want to win over the hearts and minds of people who don't agree with
and
you.
It was because it was all a political witch hunt.
She understands politics, Kareem.
I get that.
But why does she keep making these mistakes because, over and over and over again?
Because she's damned if she do, she's damned if she don't.
No, if she's not.
If she is.
You're just sitting there defending her and saying she's damned if she do, she's damned if she don't. She can't win anyway. Poor Hillary. She's making stupid mistakes.
Poor Hillary?
I didn't say it. You didn't say it.
Did I say poor Hillary?
That was the implicate. When you say damned if you do, damned if you don't, that's the next thing. I can't win no matter what I do.
No. You work in the media. Your media has been, they have been, since the Bush administration, the news industry has been horrible. They have not done their job. Since 9/11, the media has not done.
You could probably go back to like
job.
94 to like the first Iraq War, 91, like 89.
The media has not done its job.
Why don't we go back to Iran-Contra? Why don't we go back further than that? Mm-hmm. Why don't we blame the media for everything? Let's not hold anybody accountable for anything. They can't win. You know what, Kareem? The media just can't win. They're damned if they do. They're damned if they don't. Because there's always going to be a blogger that says they're wrong.
No.
From one side or the other. Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
No.
See how ridiculous that argument is?
No. The media has
it's
not
ridiculous.
Done its job since
She's
George
not
Bush.
Doing her job as a candidate if she's not out there saying, look, this isn't right. And you know what?
She
On the
said
other
it
side,
is not right. She has given all the information.
She has not.
What?
She has been obfuscating stuff. And then after the beatdown, after the why aren't you doing this and why aren't you doing that, then finally it comes.
No.
Finally it comes. And here's the thing.
Because you're covering it like it's real and you know that it's not real.
I'm
you
on.
Know that is
it's
not
being
real.
Covered.
It's being covered
as somebody who's saying it. This person is saying it. How do you respond to that? Now, I don't want to get.
No, let's go. If this guy is saying it and you know that it's full, it's crap. Don't even cover it. You call it crap and keep it moving.
You can't. You're going to just not cover.
You call it crap.
A major candidate.
As a matter of fact, the only reason he is a major candidate is because the news media didn't call him out on his crap at the beginning.
He is a major candidate because the Republican Party rolled up a string of awful candidates. Awful. The worst group of candidates I have ever seen in my life rolled up there. And everybody went, well, I guess this guy. And then they just kept falling off one by one by one. By the way, I'm on Hillary Clinton's side. I'm pissed that she's not doing this because I think she's blowing it. It's not because I'm in favor of Donald Trump. It's because why are you even giving this a chance to fester and grow when you know the game and you know how it's played and you know what's going on?
And those people that are listening to this don't get their information from credible news sources.
What are credible news sources now?
Huh?
What are credible news sources? This is the big thing. What is a credible news source? I hear a lot about this. You don't get your news from a credible news source. What's a credible news source? What is it? Is it CNN? Is it NPR? Is it the Griot? Is it the Huffington Post?
It's all of the above. Because people on the left get information from a various group of a broad group of places. Mm-hmm. The people on the right get theirs from one source or one group of sources that are
right.
the same source.
They get Fox News, they get Rush Limbaugh, they get Sean Hannity, they get
Breitbart.
Right. They get Breitbart. Yeah, absolutely.
And they have been conditioned not to take anything that's not that.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And so they can tell them that the sky is falling,
but
they'll believe it.
But there's a lot of liberals also that are out there that do the same thing, and they only get their information from one another. Like
absolutely,
like so. I mean, like there's a really in order to be the most rounded and best like informed citizen that you can be nowadays.
Stop trying to be balanced. It's not balanced.
No, but
bro.
You have to listen to it all. You have to listen to it all.
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
But stop trying to make like it's balanced. It's not balanced.
What's balanced?
The people on the center and left aren't getting as many people that are.
No. So
don't try to make it sound
people,
like it's
the,
balanced.
No, the people
that's
that I
where
the,
that's
the people,
where the media's
the people
been
that,
screwing it up.
The people that I know that listen to Fox and read Breitbart and listen to like the people that do that.
The 70% of Donald Trump supporters that think that Obama's a Muslim.
Yeah, they only listen to that stuff and they don't do any studying and trying to get information or accept information from other sources. A huge number of those people believe that the world was formed 10,000 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's up and down my timeline every day.
No, I know. Yeah, me too. But I guess what I'm also saying though is that I see that of my friends and the people that I know that are liberals, that there's probably about 40% of those people that are just repeating and recycling and getting stuff that isn't necessarily true and hasn't been fact-checked and are reposting stuff like that also on their side of things that's misinformed. I mean, there's just a problem in general of misinformation and the mm-hmm. spread of misinformation.
And that was done by Karl Rove that was started during that campaign.
It's been going on for, I mean, like the problem, there really isn't a whole lot of trusted news sites. And the reason is because there's really only four or five, you know, people that own all the news sites in the first place for the most part, unless it's web-based. You know, you have Comcast that owns Viacom.
Comcast, Viacom, NBC.
Yeah. They own all of that, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have Disney.
Disney, ABC, yep.
ESPN, all of that, mm-hmm. right? And then you have Fox. And then you have Time, right? Is Time part of...
Well, CBS.
CBS. So you got, and they're all owned by huge corporations.
There are fewer companies. Here's the thing: when everything started to become publicly traded, and a lot of times it became a profit center for news.
Yeah.
And so it became a bottom line thing. So when you look at local TV news and even network TV news to a certain extent, it's how do we maximize the bottom line? Because it's a business. And so you don't have, as a part of your regular consumption, in-depth journalism. Mm-hmm. Because everything is a thumbnail. Everything is quick. Everything is immediate. Everything is a thumbnail. And because we had the launch of things like CNN and MSNBC, it's the reason why there's so much just reporting what Donald Trump says is because it's live. He's live. There he is. Take it. Donald Trump is saying something.
Yeah.
And despite the fact that Morning Joe, whose last name I forget right now.
Scarborough.
Joe Scarborough, who is a Republican, former congressman from Florida, has been doing nothing but calling Donald Trump out on nonsense for the past several months. So it is happening. It's just not necessarily happening where you're getting your news, because a lot of people are like, I don't even watch TV anymore. I don't read a newspaper.
I get my news from Twitter.
Yeah.
Glenn Beck.
I get my news. Anybody who says I get my news from Twitter, I immediately disregard.
But no, this is the thing. So I've been paying attention to politics since I was, before I was 18.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Mm-hmm.
I have a ton of people, and I hesitate to call them friends at this point, who have just now, who are 40 something years old and are just now paying attention to politics to the point they're like, well, I can't believe they did that. And I'm like, well, where have you been? This is how this works.
I remember coming home from school and watching the Oliver North Iran-Contra trial in the 80s.
Yeah.
Look it up, kids. It was riveting TV.
Yeah,
and it was every day. Here was a guy in uniform testifying under taking the fifth and testifying about what was going on, which was essentially trading arms
for cocaine
to a group of paramilitary people in Nicaragua and dealing with the Iranians. And it was all of this covert backdoor stuff. And did the president know? Yeah, of course he did.
Yeah.
Of course he did. But they couldn't do the full linkage because there was never that direct link. Or the president said this to you. No, the president never talked to me. Everything went through enough people, so it never linked back.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing has been going on for a long time. I mean, we've got recordings of Lyndon Johnson talking about how large his testicles are and how he needs special pants.
Yeah.
Things go on in the Oval Office that you don't want to hear about. That are weird. And I'm sure Obama has engaged in several of those as well that we may find out about. We may not. We may find out about them in 15 or 20 years. But they are probably, in a lot of cases, the necessary evil that had to be part of doing that job. Because you can't just go, I'm not going to deal with such and so country because they're a pain in my butt. Right. You can't cut them off like that ex-girlfriend. You have to deal. You have to deal with it. And there are all these moving parts.
Well, that's
crazy.
Like, that's like him going against party lines, right? And vetoing the suing of Saudi Arabia, right? That the bill that got voted on in Congress, and like it's primarily by Democrats, stuff like that, to be able to sue for 9/11. Obama's like, I'm vetoing this.
Yeah.
Like this is because he knows that that's because he's a constitutional lawyer. That's what mm-hmm. he does. That's what he knows. That's you cannot sue a sovereign nation. Yeah. Like it's just
There's a lot of things. Here's what the next big thing on Obama's plate is going to be, and I'm looking forward to the debates between Clinton and Trump. Although Trump has said he doesn't want a moderator because a moderator is going to be against him.
Yeah.
He's not paranoid. Edward Snowden, because the movie is just coming out.
Mm.
Edward Snowden is asking for a pardon from Obama. How much hell do you think is going to be stirred up if Obama pardons Edward Snowden?
I don't think he's going to pardon him.
I don't think he is either, but how much would it stir up?
Ooh, it would stir up a lot.
I mean, you want to talk about the ultimate F you, both middle fingers in the air, spinning around in all directions as you leave office.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think, though, that he probably respects the Constitution and what the United States stands for too much to be able to, I mean, just personally probably that he couldn't do it. Because he could. He could do it like that like 11:59 when he signs like that, like Clinton did. I remember hearing about Clinton and all the people that he signed off on.
No.
This is what
his middle finger is going to be. At 11:59, he's going to pardon Assata Shakur. That's what it's going. His middle finger is going to be to America.
Maybe we'll
see. You know who Assata Shakur is, dude, right?
Tupac's mom.
No,
I don't know.
So. She was a Black Panther who's in exile in Cuba right now.
Oh, well, we can go to Cuba now. So yeah, why not?
So that's one of the things with the whole we can go to Cuba now thing is that they want him to Cuba to extradite her. It's like, yeah, it's not happening. So that's going to be his big middle finger.
Yeah, I hope he does that. That'd be awesome.
All right. Well, let's go to Kareem's home state of North Carolina. The game started with Lorianne Phillips' first car. It was a red Toyota Camry. A friend in high school said her first set of wheels needed an identity. A name to make it unique, so she decided on Peaches. Between her teens and early 20s, through high school and college, in her home state of Pennsylvania, she cycled through two more vehicles, each with their own fruit-themed names. Mango was a maroon Jeep Wrangler, and Papaya was a white Ford F-150 truck. So when it came time to leave her hometown of Wilkes-Barre 12 years ago and venture to North Carolina, she loaded her belongings into her brand-new Toyota RAV4 and pondered what tropical fruit she could appropriate next. Well, Gwyneth Paltrow had just given birth to her daughter, so apple was out of the question. Also, that's not a tropical fruit, you clever writer, you. And if she wanted to put a new name on a personalized license plate, could a fruit like strawberry even fit?
Once again, another...
Not tropical. Eventually, she stumbled on the little gems of the citrus family, fruit she had not tasted, but whose name was too quirky to pass up. From then on, her RAV4 was known as Kumquat. And for more than a decade and 216,000 miles, she drove her little silver SUV with a Kumquat license plate without incident. It would solicit occasional gawks at gas stations, and sometimes people would snap photos at stoplights, but nobody ever complained. Kumquat is, after all, just a fruit. Then last week, she got a letter. This correspondence is in reference to the personalized license plate Kumquat, which is spelled K-U-M-Q-U-A-T. Sherry Lee, a supervisor at the North Carolina Department of Transportation, wrote, "We are in receipt of complaints stating the plate is offensive and in poor taste." It gave her 30 days to craft a written statement examining what the word kumquat means to her. And, what is that? What is that, like an elementary school essay?
What in the world?
Right? And if she didn't, according to the letter, the DOT would revoke her plate. She was dumbfounded. Here's a copy of the letter. There it is, complete. She had just returned from a two-week vacation, was in no mood to defend her license plate's honor, so in a fit of frustration, she vented on Facebook, because that's what you do now. The tone of her post, Phillips told the Washington Post, went something like this. "Is this for real? I can't really believe they sent this," followed by, "You've got to be kidding me, and learn your fruits." But when she started contemplating her response anyway, she printed off the Kumquat Wikipedia page and tried to investigate what ulterior meanings that word might have. She avoided definitions on Urban Dictionary because, you know, that wouldn't work out well for her. And at least she hadn't spelled it like the Australians, which I'm guessing is with a C. In the meantime, a friend of hers, an editor at the Raleigh Agenda, an online news organization, asked whether he could tell her story. The Agenda called the DOT and asked about the letter. An employee, Rebecca Richards, told the publication she could not recall just one complaint about the Kumquat plate. The woman who penned the warning letter said she must issue notices on any North Carolina driver who receives a complaint, no matter how silly or unfounded they might be. In her 26 years at the DOT, she told the Agenda she estimates sending out about 10 warning letters per year. "In this day and time, things mean a lot of different things," she told the publication. "Some people see CEX, which is part of a standard issue plate, and issue a complaint. You can make anything bad these days." The Agenda story was published on August 31st, and within hours, the DOT responded with a tweet, because, again, that's what you do. they said, "Verified kumquat is in fact a fruit, and has contacted the owner to let her know that no further action is necessary." Thanks, North Carolina. You're aces.
Some old white woman.
Keep those kumquats out of the bathrooms. Yes, with the transgenders.
You hear that, or she cuts somebody off, and that guy's like, I know what I'm going to do.
No.
Which would be good revenge. Yeah.
I don't think that a guy would take that much time to do that.
No, no. Maybe a gay guy. I don't know.
But yeah, no.
Maybe. Meanwhile, in Kansas City, Kansas, a man accused of robbing a bank and immediately surrendering to a security guard told investigators he preferred jail to living with his wife. Oh, wow. His name's Lawrence John Ripple, and he's 70. He allegedly walked into the Bank of Labor in Kansas City on September 2nd, handed a teller a note reading, "I have a gun, give me money." Court documents state Ripple took the money and sat down in the lobby of the bank until he was approached by a security guard. To which he said, "I'm the guy you're looking for." Police responded quickly to the bank, which is on the same block as the city's police headquarters. He planned this. He allegedly told investigators he'd been arguing with his wife and, quote, no longer wanted to be in that situation, unquote. The FBI affidavit in support of a robbery charge against Ripple states the subject wrote out a demand note in front of his wife and told her he'd rather be in jail than at home. His wife had become angry when she reminded him that the clothes dryer needed to be repaired. So he's been charged with robbery and aggravated robbery and might have to wait to get his wish for jail over home life. He was released on bond the next day.
Darn it.
Man. You want to talk about damned if you do, damned if you don't?
Yeah.
That guy. And meanwhile,
you got to explain that to her when he get back home.
You know, at a certain point, you're so deep in the fight, it really doesn't matter. You're just ready to go for the nuclear option. Meanwhile, across the pond, a random guy offered to buy a girl a drink at a bar. And then he asked for a refund. The girl's name's Abby Fenton. She got a text 2 weeks after her encounter with a mysterious Liam on a night out. The 18-year-old thought she wouldn't hear from the stranger who bought her a vodka and Coke again, but then he asked for his £6.50 back in a brazen text. Abby, who is about to start a biomedicine degree at Leeds Beckett University, agreed to pay him back. She's a good egg. She said, "I paid him back straight away, even though I wasn't going to at first. I thought it was so cheeky, but then I thought he might have needed it." Here's his text. He said, "Hi, I hope you don't mind, love, but can you transfer me back the £6.50? She replies, "Who's this? Ha ha ha. Liam from the Viper Room a few weeks ago. I bought your drink. Can I have money back for it? We'll give you sort code and account number. Thanks." And she said, "No worries. What's your bank details?" So apparently he's pretty cheap. Liam apparently didn't feel like he got his money's worth out of Abby, but who knows? So it's an interesting move. He got her number.
Yeah.
So he got his money back. Good on her for giving it back.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's I can't understand, like, unless this guy, I don't know what his motive would be to do, like, to do that. Like, she looked like a pretty cute girl, right? I mean, if that was the pictures of her.
Well, she might not have been interested.
Yeah, but...
But she must have probably been interested because he had her phone number.
Yeah, well, who knows?
And she gave him the real number. She didn't give him a fake
number. Phony one.
Yeah, I mean, and so, I mean, that's, yeah, I don't know, man. That's... What a weirdo.
Of that whole situation, I like the fact that you just went, here's your money back.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Get all huffy about it.
No.
Now she's someone who's not going to make you want to rob a bank later.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying there. And those are what we like to call keepers.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, naming your car, Jason.
Oh, yeah, it's cool, right? Yeah, name your car.
Kareem.
It's cool.
What?
Whoa. the volume dropped down when Jason said what? No, Kareem's totally right. It is Tool, unless you're a woman.
What are you talking about?
That's what women do. Guys don't name their cars.
Guys can name their cars.
Well, they can.
I mean, like, you name an airplane, you name a ship, you name your car. I mean, it's like that.
Not at 45.
Whatever.
I've never named a car. Sorry.
I haven't really either.
I've never really named a car. I'm just sorry.
It's not going to happen.
You see it in the movies and on television, but yeah.
Yeah. Really, it's something Vin Diesel does in the movies.
I don't even name my junk, you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
you know what? Because it speaks for itself.
Exactly.
I'm next in Cool or Tool. Running away from your problem. Scream.
In that case, it was cool.
Jason?
Man, what I've found in my life is that you can't ever run away from your problems. They always catch up to you, just like this guy's wife will. Tool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as much as I had, that's just somebody who's given up and doesn't have the energy to jump off a bridge. So, Tool, sorry. And finally in Cooler Tool, demanding satisfaction, Jason.
It's, you know, I mean, listen, cool, right? I mean, you can demand satisfaction, cool.
Kareem?
I would say, normally I would say cool, but in that case, I'm going to say that was kind of Tool.
It was kind of Tool. Move on with your life, Liam.
Yeah.
I think he's just using it as a longer play to get her really interested, mm-hmm, and get her out for another drink.
I think he ruined it. If he had a long play going, he lost it.
Oh, you never know. They have a story now.
Yeah.
So that's going to do it for Cool or Tool. Meanwhile, Cynthia Ann Frierson, who's 36, was charged with disrupting a funeral or memorial service, public intoxication, driving on a revoked suspended license, and immediate notice of accident and unlawful drug paraphernalia. She's a smiley one in that mugshot, though.
He's too happy to be arrested.
A Columbia, Tennessee woman was arrested after she allegedly tried to remove a body from a casket during a funeral service. That's what all the charges are from. Officers responded to two calls regarding hit and runs of parked vehicles on a Monday afternoon. A red pickup truck driven by Frierson allegedly sideswiped vehicles parked in front of houses on South Glade Street and East 10th Street. While police were speaking with the owner of the vehicle, they received a call from dispatch saying Frierson was causing a disturbance at the funeral home. A witness there said Frierson showed up at the funeral home as they were actively having a funeral, walked up to the open casket. She allegedly then began grabbing at the body inside the casket, at one point attempted to get the body out of the casket. Funeral attendees, as you're not surprised, were angry and asked her to leave. One witness said that she refused to leave, and approximately six people had to pull her away from the casket and take her outside. Police then spoke with her outside. She allegedly smelled of alcohol, and her speech was slurred.
What else was in the alcohol?
It is unclear from this report.
That wasn't just alcohol.
Methamphetamines, probably.
There was a lot of stuff. Sure. During the booking, they looked in her right pocket to see what she had in toilet paper. A clear glass pipe. And so that was removed from the pocket. She was then searched by booking staff. Nothing else illegal was found. It was a glass pipe with black residue. Used to smoke crack. So crack would be the answer. Crack. It's whack.
It is.
Crack is still whack. Whether you're in Tennessee or a state further south.
What state would that be?
From goofballs to gators, here's Florida Corner.
All right. Hey, sex offenders are a problem. They have to register. They're bad people. And sometimes they lie about their actual physical address.
In the past 24 hours, a sex offender registering his home address as a Walmart store in Lehigh Acres.
For In Your Corner, heard from Walmart today. Our investigator Mike Mason is here tonight with more on what the company has to say.
Convicted sex offender 27-year-old Isaiah Jones lists the Lehigh Walmart as his home address. But Walmart says its managers searched the store and even the parking lots looking for people sleeping in cars. Four In Your Corner wants to be clear. We don't have any direct evidence Jones ever lived in the store, and we apologize for the lack of clarity in last night's story. But a store employee did tell us they've seen Jones around the store a handful of times. We also reported Walmart would have to go to the Lee County Sheriff's deputies and tell them Jones was trespassing, but county deputies told them Jones can only be trespassed if he's physically on the property at the time sheriff's deputies arrive. In the newsroom, Mike Mason, Fox 4, In Your Corner. All
right. Thanks, Mike. Meanwhile, this... Oh, it's not going to play. Hey, how do you get the cops to laugh?
Invite them to the ball.
Ooh, that's a good answer. Kareem, you're black. How do you get cops to laugh?
Tell them the truth.
This is very close. Ask them if taking the police car you've just been accused of stealing is a felony is the answer we were looking for. It's video.
Okay.
That's actually the answer. Sorry. Basically, what happened was there was an unlocked police car in front of a liquor discount hut. Witness told an officer a man wearing flip-flops had taken the car. The officer drove north as police radio traffic discussed the report of the stolen car. A black male jumped in one of the police cars and drove away. The dispatcher repeats, can anybody confirm if their car is missing? They spotted the stolen car northbound on North Atlantic Avenue, going about 40 with its emergency lights flashing. The car then stopped. The cop drew his gun and ordered the man out. The man identified as Sermons gets out of the police car with his hands raised. Someone can be heard calling him a moron. He then apparently apologized. An officer responds, I think we're a little beyond apology. Let's see if this is the video. Is it actually going to play? No, the internet is trying to kill me. That's what's happening here.
Damn you, internet.
Yeah, I think we're a little beyond apology when you steal a cop car.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, so there you go. That's Florida Corner. You know, I promised there would be a lot less arguing and yelling, and there was more. Apparently, I lied.
Hey, you know, that's honest conversation.
We're a passionate people.
We are.
You know what's really weird, though, is at the core of it all, we agree.
Yeah.
We're just, we like to talk about it passionately.
We're on the same side.
We are. The human side.
I'm still looking forward to the Trump-Clinton debates.
Oh, I can't wait.
I hope she eviscerates him.
Well, here's the funny thing, Jason. No matter what happens, turn on Rush Limbaugh the next morning.
Oh, yeah.
And listen. By the way, I turned on Rush Limbaugh last week, and he wasn't attacking Hillary Clinton very much. The focus of his ire, congressional Republicans who weren't supporting Trump. So, there you go.
Yeah.
Now I've saved you listening to Rush Limbaugh.
Well, if you want to listen to somebody that you wouldn't think of listening to, Glenn Beck has been pretty anti-Trump lately, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, he's also nuts, too, so consider the source. By the way, if you really want to get into politics, just check out Patton Oswalt's Twitter feed. Because there's a lot on there. Don't follow him, because it's going to be nothing but Patton. Because he's, like, on fire.
Is he on fire?
He's on fire. I had to unfollow him, like, 2 years ago, because he tweets a lot.
Is he like that llama?
The Dalai Lama. Yes, he is.
No, there's another llama. There's the llama llama.
The lambda lambda llama? Yeah, check out Patton Oswalt on Twitter. And, follow me on Twitter. It's @NateDarling. And, there'll be things about the show occasionally. And a variety of other things. Who knows? Who knows what I'll tweet about?
Just tweet.
It might be wrestling. It's entirely possible.
If you tweet, you tweet. Yeah, you don't tweet.
Nope. Don't do that at all. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. Back on Monday with the uncensored episode. And don't drink and drive. Or steal a cop car. Or try to steal a body from a funeral. Those are all bad things that you shouldn't do.
Yeah, possibly felonies.
Leave bodies alone.
Yes. Leave the bodies alone.
That was obviously a white funeral, because she would have got it behind. Whoops, at a black funeral.
Well, they just assumed it was a grieving relative who was throwing herself in the casket, too. Who knows? All right. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.